Let's turn this morning to Isaiah chapter 6, please. Isaiah chapter 6. It is a privilege to be here. I've been looking forward to coming. Pray the Lord will bless us together around his word. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he did covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, sent me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we know the Lord will bless his word this morning. Father, draw near to us this morning. Give that anointing to speaker and hearer alike. Stir our hearts, Lord, today to love thee, to serve thee, while we have the ability, the energy, the health, the strength. Oh God, that other poor souls might find our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isaiah the young prophet, just a young person. We're not giving all the ages and details, but he was a young man and he begins his ministry. He was saved. That's the beginning. Before I came to know the Lord, people would say, if you get saved, it'll spoil your life. You'll not have fun, you'll not have enjoyment. It'll be a miserable life. You can't go here and you can't go there and you can't do this and you can't. But the Lord gives you so much more in life. You don't want to go to certain places because you have other things to do. And here's a young man, and he's got saved, and he knows the Savior. Way over there at the beginning of the book, he talks about the Savior, and he talks about the Lord speaking to him. So he's saved, and he's walking with the Lord, enjoying the Lord. Talked in Isaiah 53 about Christ and the crucifixion. So he was a good, fundamental young boy. Knew what he was talking. He was called into service. He's saved, he's serving the Lord. And he begins to talk about the Lord in the first chapters. Yeah. He begins to talk very strongly. He talked about the ox knows its owner. And the donkey knows who feeds it. And then he says, my people have turned away from God. They don't own God. They don't realize that God feeds them. I mean, we need to realize that today. So often we sit down to our dinner and we never even say a grace today. We go to McDonald's and we just munch it up and throw out the papers and away we go. And we've lost the idea that the presence of God, the blessing of God, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the homes we have, all the things, the church we have, all these things are coming from the hand of God. And this young man is starting to realize this. Yeah. He talks about the sinful nation, chapter 1. He talks about people laden with iniquity, evildoers forsaking God, making God angry. He goes on to talk about hell. Now, these are things that you and I have been brought up with, isn't it? The Free Presbyterian Church, we talked about hell and God's people and the church and all the rest of it. But here's this young man, and he comes to chapter 6, and he comes to a real crisis in his life, a real crossroads in his life. What's he going to do? Who can he depend upon? Oh, nowadays, who can you depend on? Eh? People nowadays, I don't know if you're going to any form of business, and you can do really, it's so difficult to depend on people. But here's Isaiah, and he had a dependency on a good friend called Uzziah, the king. We all need friends. Some of the friends I have, I don't need enemies. I could do without some of them very well. the other morning at 6:30 or so, I had a rap at the door and I could have done without him more than well. but friends, we need friends. We need people to encourage us and give us advice. We need people to help us. We all do get down sometimes. It's not always rosy, but it's worthwhile. Oh my, what a friend we have in Jesus. But here's a young man, and just he had his eye. It's very lonely, by the way, without friends. But he had his eye upon Uzziah, I believe, the king, because it is quite possible he was depending a lot on Uzziah, because I wonder, did Uzziah give him some money? We need money. Go to Asda, you need money. Go to chip shop, you need money. And here's this young preacher, and I wonder, did he depend on Uzziah the king for a house or something like that? But Uzziah dies. I wonder, did Uzziah protect him from those that didn't like his message? They knew he was a friend of the king, so... But he dies here, and we find that the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Wow, he takes his dependency from man unto the Lord. Now, when you're saved and love the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you have to get your dependency on the Lord if you want to serve the Lord. We have so many today, and they want a foot in the world and a foot in the church, a foot with God and a foot with the devil. And it doesn't work. It doesn't bring happiness, it brings misery. If you know anything about sport, if you're going to go into sport, either you're going to do it or don't do it. This halfway, if you want to win, if you want to win for the Lord, we've got to depend on the Lord. We've got to give ourselves to the Lord. And I believe Isaiah here is discouraged because Uzziah has died. Will he give up? Oh, I've had enough. How many young men and women, they felt the call of God. They maybe went out in a meeting at the Martyrs or somewhere, and they said, I'll serve the Lord, and the time comes, and they get a bit of a hardship, and I'm away. That's it, I'm away. Yeah. Far too strict, far too hard. I want to enjoy the world along with my salvation. It doesn't fit together. Here's Isaiah, and he takes his eyes off his friends. He takes his eyes off his food, his clothes, his protection. He takes his eyes off Uzziah, and he sees the Lord. My, to get a vision of the Lord. What a change it makes in our lives. What a difference it makes. Oh, my, the man, Uzziah, who's going to supply my money? Who's going to supply my wages? Who's going to guide me? The Lord will do it. And he gets Uzziah's dead. He's been to the funeral. It's been a sad occasion. The young boy's brokenhearted, and he's at a crossroads, and where's he going to turn? And he turns to the Lord. Oh, God. That's where we turn to. Life's not going to be easy sometimes. It's going to be difficult. I don't care what age you are, young, middle-aged, old, pensioned, or whatever, bus passes or not. We need to depend on the Lord. How many people today, and they can pack up from home and they say, Mom and Dad, I'm leaving. I'm going off to Canada to start a new life. I've gone to start a farm in Canada. Or no, I'm going to America. And some girl said, no, I'm going over to Aberdeen to study. And Mama, what do you think? Mom and Dad, that's great. Are we, Jimmy? He's ambitious, you know. He's going to outdo his dad. He's going to have more acres than his grand ever had. Sure, his grand had only 20 cows. We're up to 50 now. And our young fella, he's ambitious. He he's a goer. He's an achiever. Young boy comes home down in Newry, said to his mum and dad, I want to go to Bible school. Dad says, that's all right. Christian home. A few days later, the daddy came in and he threw a paper on the table. Here, son, look at that there. What is it, Dad? That's the deeds of the farm up the road. I bought you a farm. That'll keep you from going away to Bible school and all that nonsense. Get on, get a bit of cow's milk. That's the attitude that Christians have today. I know a full-time children's worker, and she was taken to the one side not long ago, and they said to her, why don't you give up children's work and get a decent job and have a wee house of your own and pay a mortgage and go into all the stress of that? We have lowered the standard, friend, of God's work. It used to be when I was a little fella, before I became a little man, we used to go down to Belfast. I was only a wee boy holding onto my dad's hand, and the missionaries would be going off. The McAllisters and all those missionaries would be getting onto the boat to sail away, and there'd be 100 people saying goodbye, and we were singing, bringing in the sheaves, and man, it was a wonderful night. I talked to a missionary the other week. They said, I can hardly get a lift to the airport. It's all changed around now. Oh, here we have his dependency, but he turns his eyes away from Uzziah, and he sees the Lord, and he gives a description of the Lord. He sees God's throne high above all the other thrones, way beyond all the thrones, beyond Westminster parliaments and Stormounts. And he sees God. He sees a sovereign throne. He sees an eternal throne. Oh, yeah, Uzziah's throne is empty at the moment. He sees a living God. He sees an eternal God. He says, I saw also the Lord. He saw someone sovereign and holy. He saw someone who was really powerful. Uzziah, his friend's dead. He's gone. He sees a throne where there's no arguing. There's no competition. There's no voting. He sees the heavenly throne. And says there, he sees that wonderful place high and lifted up the tree and filled the temple. He sees the presence of God. He goes on to say there that the Lord's presence is in the whole earth. Verse 3, the whole earth is full of his glory. He begins to see that God is not just stuck in Israel. God's just not stuck in Machrafelt. No. God's not just stuck in County Down. He realizes, and young people, before you can do for a work for God, you've got to be saved. We've got missionaries, by the way, not in our denomination, but today there's missionaries on the mission field, and they're going out as social workers. They're not even saved. Not interested in the souls of people. They're interested in feeding, clothing. But oh, we have here, he gets a vision of the Lord, and he gets a vision of the angels. And when he begins to see the power and the holiness, and he sees the movement of the angels, and they're hurrying to serve the Lord. Yeah. They cry unto each other, holy. They do fly. There's a hurry. There's an activity. There's a humility. They cover themselves with their wings. There's a motion. There's the harmony of the movement. And he begins to see a little glimpse of what's beyond what we see. I believe he sees a little glimpse of what the church should be. He gets a little glimpse of what the work of God should be. The work of God, I believe there should be a little bit of a hurry to it. Yeah. Oh, I'll go down to church if I get time. Oh. There's a football match. Did you see the motorbike racing yesterday? Boy, did you see your man going. Where are you going in the morning? I'll go to church. That's the attitude we've got today. Church is so, so far down the list of excitement. So far. I had a lady in the Uri church. And I said to her one day, I said, tell me, I haven't seen you at the prayer meeting lately. Where have you been? Oh, she says, Morris, I can't go to the prayer meeting anymore. I said, why? What's wrong, dear? She says, every time I go to the prayer meeting, I start to cry. And then when I start to pray, I even sob and cry. I said, dear, you come to the prayer meeting, and you sob, you cry, and we'll cry with you. She came to the prayer meeting. She saw a move of God in her home like no one else. Yeah. Oh, friend, the work of God, there's to be humility, there's to be harmony, there's to be holiness. There's to be that moving of the Holy Spirit. He sees the Lord of hosts. He sees the one who leads the heavenly armies. He sees power. He sees power. He sees one that can guide him and provide for him and care for him. He's got his eyes off the earthly king. He's got his eyes on the heavenly king. He puts his dependency now on the Lord. He sees a little demonstration of God's ability. The post of the door moved. The voice of him that cried And he sees God moving. And you know, before you can sail a big ship out in the Mediterranean Sea, you have to sail your little ship at home. And before you go away off to do service for God anywhere or anywhere, any place, you've got to learn a little about the Lord at home. You've got to see a little of God's moving. You've got to realize God's presence. And you've got to get a grasp that God is with me. And I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And God can guide you. And then you ask, Lord, show me something. I believe that. Gideon put a fleece out. He said, Lord, I want it wet in the morning. I want it dry. He tested the Lord. Yeah. Oh, do you test the Lord? Maybe some financial problem. Maybe some sickness problem. Maybe you're someone you prayed for getting saved. And you're putting God to the test, and God's putting you to the test. And you're going to pass your exams together. And oh, the effect of this. The effect. You know, some people would have had to read this passage, and if they had gone through the experience, they would have stopped. And they'd have looked at the seraphims and the angels, and they'd have looked at the temple, and they'd have looked at the train, and they'd have looked at all the different things, and it had no effect, but it has an effect upon this young man. What he sees has an effect upon him. He says, woe is me. Oh, he says, I feel depravity. I feel so sinful. I feel so sinful. I'm a sinner. I'm in the Lord's presence. Who am I? I was praying in the prayer meeting this morning. We're only old sinners. We're only earthen vessels that God has saved and cleansed that he might use us. That he might use us. Where? I don't know where the Lord has planned for you. But he has plans for you. Oh, go through with God thy vows to pay. Thy life upon the altar lay. He said, I'm a sinner. Oh my, he realizes that he's a sinner. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. My, isn't that true today? Ministers are sheltered. We don't hear the language of the world, but when you get out into the world and maybe a little bit of wherever. I do a little bit of part-time work now, and the language is rough. We need the touch of God. Yeah. We need the touch of God in our own lives. We need, what does he say there? He said, verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sins purged. Here's a young man. And he's got a vision. He's got to see God in some wonderful experience. And you've got to get to know God. And he realizes that the Lord has forgiven him. Sins forgiven. Washed. He not only is forgiven and he says, my iniquity is cleansed and purged. But he gets a touch of the fire. The fire of God. His lips. His heart, his mind, his soul. John Wesley said one time, he said, get a man, a minister, a preacher, and set him on fire, and the people will come and watch him burn. He meant spiritually. We've lost so much fire today. So much excitement. Did you hear Mrs. So-and-so got saved? Ah, that's all right. We should be excited. People getting saved. A soul that will not be in hell. And here's Isaiah. And he's got the unclean lips touched. He gets a fire in his heart. Gets a fire in his soul. I was going up into Scotland the other morning in a lorry. At 3:30 in the morning. And I said to the boy who was driving, I said, what on earth is that going up the road? The old eyesight, my eyesight's not so good, you know what? There's this yellow thing and two wee legs under it, 3:30 in the morning. Some guy out running. I said, boys, look at that. That's dedication, isn't it? I said, he's as daft as we are. We're out at 3:30 and he's out at 3:30 and there's very little difference between him and us. That's dedication. What's it for? Well, at Don Man's age, he'll never win a medal, put it that way. We can be dedicated to anything. We can be ambitious to anything but God's service. God's service. We can be ambitious to sport. I like sport. We can be ambitious to money and music and anything in this world, but don't get ambitious about missionary work. Don't get excited about the heathen. Didn't they say that to William Carey? You sit down, young man. If God wants to save the heathen, he'll do it without you or me. Don't get excited about the wee church. Don't get excited about weeds growing in the garden of the church. Don't get excited about making a cup of tea. Yeah. We were over in Liberia. We had a great time. I enjoyed it. Good fun. Loved the preaching, loved the people. But they were having a meal for us. And Liberian meal, food's different from here. But that evening, the wife was busy in the kitchen. It's lovely that, you know. I like that. Busy in the kitchen, there's always something nice. So I went in. I said, what are you at? I said, I thought I'd bake a few wee biscuits for the children tomorrow. 200 biscuits. Why did you do that? Didn't have to. No. When I was just a little fella at home, my mum used to ask me some days on a Saturday afternoon, would you wash the floor and clean the floors? You know, the old lino floors. And I would get down and I'd scrub the floor and I'd polish it and shine it. And I knew on a Saturday afternoon she would bake and she'd give me a wee bun. And then I would eat the bun and say, Mum, isn't the floor's nice? I says, and there's another one. Look, friends, if we serve the Lord, do you think he'll not give you a bun? If you do some little extra for the Lord, will he be hard on you? Will he be cruel to you? Will he not bless you? Oh, I know Christians, and get your eyes off other Christians and get them on the Lord and see him high and lifted up. Oh, what a Savior. What a friend that goes with us. What a one that can care for us and guide us through the mess of this world. My daughter was taken to hospital a few weeks ago. She took ill and was rushed into Enniskillen Hospital. And they said, I'm sorry, Emma, we're going to have to wait a while. There's a few in front of you. There was three attempted suicides in front of her. Broke her heart. I tell you something, to give your life to the Lord completely. Isaiah did that. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Ah, he's got places with God. He's not away from home. He's at home. He's got places with God at home. He's going places. He's getting into the presence of God. He's getting to know God. He's getting to know the power of God, the presence of God, the infilling of the Spirit of God. He's getting to know his own sinfulness. He has realized not only of his own sinfulness, but the Lord has forgiven him. He's saved. He's clean. He's washed. He's made clean. And he hears, he gets close enough to the Lord to hear the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Young men, young men, older people too, pensioners and all that, get close to the Lord and ask, Lord, what will you have me to do? Lord, is there anything for me to do? And when you get close to the Lord, you will hear him say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Oh, I tell you, I've met Christians lately. Young people especially. How do you know the will of God? Oh, I don't know the will of God. When you become willing, he'll show you. Yeah. He'll show you. Oh, here he comes. The highest calling in the world. Yeah. If God calls you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king. Yeah. Call. Called to serve the Lord. Called and sent forth. Not everybody's called in such a manner. But we're called to work for the Lord. We're called to serve the Lord. We're called to do something. The 70 disciples in Luke 10 were called to the Lord. And then they were sent out. And they came back having a wonderful time. Wonderful. You say, well, I haven't got the call like that. Yes, you read on down Luke chapter 10 and you find you come to the story of the Good Samaritan. It doesn't seem that he was called or sent. He's out on his normal daily duties and he just did what he felt was right to do. The priest and the Levite and all, they were so busy. They were so busy with the call of what they called God's call, God's service. They hadn't time to do what was right and what he felt he should do. But the Good Samaritan stopped and he did what he felt he should do. Friend, if God's people would only do what they feel they should do, what a change it would make. Gladys Aylward, she went to Bible college. She felt the call of God to go to Bible college. She went into Bible college and one day the principal, I don't think it happened to you, but the principal called her out and said to her, you're not getting on too well with your studies, Gladys, you'll have to leave. But I've got a job for you. She said, what's that? She says, I know I'm not very good at the studies. I know that. I'll admit that. And I'll have to leave. He said, I've got a job for you caring for two old retired missionaries like us. Go you down and look after those two old retired missionaries and you'll do a great service for the Lord. She went and she started to look after the missionaries. And she said, this is no good. They're not paying me my wages very well. I'm on very bad wages. She left the missionaries. She went to work for a man who paid good wages. And she went down to the train station one day and she says, I want a ticket to China. And the man looked at her, where are you going? China. Do you know how much that costs? No. I have some money here, but I'll come down every week and pay it off in installments. And when the money's paid, will you give me the ticket to China? He says, I will. Do you know the story? Gladys Aylward went to China. How did she go? She went out of England across the boat, way by train, right out through Russia in the middle of the war. She says, my mommy was good to me. She gave me an old fur coat to wear, and it's lovely. Keeps me nice and warm. She went out with faith. She had been in the presence of the Lord. She took her eyes off the people around her. She got her eyes on the Savior. She went out and she became one of the great missionaries. She went out and became one of the world's greatest linguists. What a woman she became. It's not always going to be easy. Isaiah was promised here, it's going to be a difficult work. But he said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then he said, here am I. Sent me. Here am I. Sent me. What a question. What an answer. Who? It's hard to read it even. Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Friend, if you're interested in missionary work, you listen to the missionary reports. They're needing workers. Liberia is needing workers. They're needing workers in Kenya. They're needing workers, and they're needing. There's work to be done. But are we willing? Tobermore Mission, there's work to be done. Sunday school class, there's work to be done. So many little jobs you could do. And I'll tell you something. When you go and do a little job for the Lord, He'll bless you. Now, I know we've got a thing on television today. If you give us $30, we'll multiply that and we'll get $300. The wee boy that gave the two loaves, or the two fish and the loaves to the Lord, he didn't become a multimillionaire, I don't think. But I can see him going home jumping with joy. I gave my lunch to the Savior, Mommy. Hey, Mommy, do you know those wee baps you baked for me and those fish you put in my lunch? I gave them to the Lord and you wait, I'd come here, Mommy, to tell you the story. And he had a story for the rest of his life. We're so caught up with money. We're so caught up with business. We're so caught up with what I can have and hold and eat and enjoy. And let them perish. Let those wee children in Liberia perish. Let those wee children in the orphanage up in Nepal, let them perish. Let the folk around Tobermore perish. As long as I'm all right. As long as me, I'm all right. As long as I get my boyfriend, my girlfriend. As long as I get my new house and my car, and a nice clothes and comfortable living. And then at the end of the day, I'll go to heaven and the Lord will say, what did you do for me? And you say, nothing. Well, friend, I tell you, if you get a little drink of the soul winner's wine, yeah, you can keep all your French wines and your brandies if you keep all that rubbish. And we drink of the soul winner's wine. Many years ago, I got my first touch of soul winner's wine down in Tramore, County Waterford. And man, it was sweet. Have you tasted the soul winner's wine? You want to live life? You want to live a good retirement? You want to live to the best that God has for you? Seek the Lord. Seek Him. Find Him. Get close to the Lord. Listen for His voice. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. Send me. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my plan, I hope, is not finished yet. But oh, I tell you, looking back, it was a good life. It's wonderful. To stand before the Lord and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your presence with us this morning. We thank Thee for help given, Lord. We thank Thee for every blessing, every remembrance of this church in the times of salvation, the times, Lord, when You called many young people into service. And we pray, Lord, that You'll speak this morning. Help them to realize life at best is very brief. And oh God, there's the time coming when we will stand before Thee and give our account what we did for our Savior. Lord, all the wood, hay, and stubble will be taken and burned, and we'll be left before our God. Bless us today. Speak on to hearts, Lord, young and old. Encourage us, Father, to serve Thee. Encourage us and stir us up. May You take that live coal from off the altar and touch us afresh today. Set us on fire for our Savior. Take away the fear of man. Take away the fear of people. Take away our dependence on those around us. And give us a dependence on our Savior. Bless those, Lord, that are going through deep waters today. You know every one of them. Remember those, Lord, that have been to hospital and they're not well today. That You'll give them that health and strength that's needed. And that lessons will be learned even in those hospital days. Bless those that mourn, Father. Bind up the broken heart. Take us our way in safety. Bless the mission this afternoon again there in Tobermore. Give Reverend McKee the joy of soul winner's wine for Jesus' sake. Amen.